got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up, don't you know, pump it up. Hi, this is Spencer Dorwitz, former forward for the Dundee Stars, and you're listening to A View from Section C.
A View from Section C is sponsored by Don Michele, Italian restaurant, Perth Road, Dundee.
Hello, and welcome on to episode 108 of the Don Michele sponsored A View from Section C. Senior, how are we? Later episode this week?
It's Thursday night now, eh? But people forget, we're really busy people, Junior. You know what I mean? We've got work and lives in our hand and stuff like that. So we've got to squeeze this hour in to keep the fans entertained. And sometimes it's difficult, but we make it. Because we do it for the people.
Yeah, I was in clan territory. On Monday and Tuesday. I was in Airdrie and then Coatbridge.
Nice places.
Proper clan territory, that.
Nice places, yeah. I hope Brian Wallace doesn't listen. That's fair. He's round about that area.
But aye. Barry, how are you?
I'm good. It's been a strange week at work, but I'm still breathing. I've made it. I'm nearly there to the end of an hour, mate. And looking forward to the weekend. I'm saying I'm looking forward to the weekend now, but you asked me with the next week's podcast and I'll be sitting here raging or something. So we'll take the good with the bad at times, eh?
Yeah, there is that. Yes. It was a good weekend. We'll come into it, but it was a good weekend for us. Yeah. Few points on the board.
I'm doing that way.
Climbing the table. So yeah. But we will start off with our usual MB Valeting sponsored two-way watch. It's getting a right tongue twister. See when you get later in the week as well. See, try to think about what you're away to say. Jesus Christ. Right. So few games this weekend. We will start with the Kirkcaldy Kestrels and Josh Saunders. So they were away to the Edinburgh Capitals. They lost by 2-1. No goals or assists for Josh. No penalties. However, it was a very, very feisty game.
I've seen the former
Stars forward. Well, before that, former Stars forward, Chris Phillips, fighting with somebody. And then, yeah. I think it was Dalglish.
Yeah.
And have you heard the potential outcome of that?
I believe there's going to be suspensions.
Not even that.
I don't know how many.
No, not even that. I believe he broke the boy's leg slashing it.
Really?
So somebody else has said that the boy broke his leg, which. You know what I mean? Listen, I don't think there was nothing much wrong with a hit on him. I think he just shoulder on shoulder for me. But, you know, if you've not seen it, folks, it's everywhere on Scottish ice hockey social media. I'm pretty sure it's on, British Hockey Fights as well. But yes, I believe Ross did break the boy's leg. That's how he was struggling to get up after it. He did get up and skate away, but I believe it is broken. Rumoured to be broken.
So, and that's
an even bigger ban now.
But that's the thing, because you shouldn't really ban or suspend people or look at penalties based on the outcome of an injury, right? But I think the SNL will sit and wait. If it's true what you've said, then that 3 or 4 game ban could suddenly turn into a fucking 2 or 3 year ban.
Yeah.
And is Dalglish not just back playing for the Caps?
Yeah, he's just come back this year, I believe, or possibly last year, but he's just back.
Yeah.
But the thing as well, right, you've got to look at it, is that this isn't their job. You know, the laddie, whoever it was, is now potentially off work because he can't, depending on what type of job he does, he might be off work now and lose wages.
Yeah.
You know, it's
that's always a worry playing at that level, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if you do get a bad injury, and not even a deliberate injury, just a nice hockey play injury, it's happened to be Cam and things like that, that these guys rely on their bodies for their work.
Yeah.
Cam Baracci's hand play nice hockey, kind of cut here, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens, eh? But
yeah,
a bit feisty. Old school Caps versus Flyers.
Well, that's what is that the Edinburgh Fife there, is it? That the rivalry. Yeah. So a disappointing weekend, obviously for Josh. The Aberdeen Lynx. So they had one game at home to the Dundee Rockets, and we'll come on to the Rockets in a bit. It was a 5-2 loss for Aberdeen. Dom was in goal, 43 shots, so 38 saves, obviously with the 5 goals conceded. Gary Kelly with a goal for Aberdeen. But then also the little bit of good news as well was Mr. Gary Kelly making his official professional debut with the Stars on Sunday down in Coventry. I think he logged about 4 minutes ice time.
Yeah, and you know what? He seems to have turned that corner again, eh? He obviously had the injury against Fife, probably knocked him for 6. He then moves from the Rockets to Aberdeen, starts getting back into the routine again, and has got his call-up. And you know what? Mark will not call him up just for the sake of calling him up. Mark will call him up if he thinks he's going to do a job for him. And he obviously did. And it's great to see that it's now guys like Gary Kelly are beginning to come through. I know that Josh came through. We played Josh as a forward. We've always said that. He done well there, but Gary Kelly is a forward. He knows how to play the forward role. So I was when I seen it, I was absolutely delighted for the laddie. And a massive well done to him. Yeah. And then the Stars go and announce another two-way player.
Yeah, so now I don't know how we're going to say this, but I'm going to go with...
Is it Rowan or is it Rowan?
See, I was going to go with Rowan.
Is he about Rowan?
Rowan Mills. So, product of the Fife, or I should say the Kirkcaldy youth setup.
Yeah.
He's played with the Kestrels. He's most recently played with Billingham down south. He's also actually, believe it or not, played 3 games for the Stars under-19s a couple of years ago, in between some Fife stuff as well. Rowan, we're going to have to get clarification on that one, but a two-way with Aberdeen and the Stars as well. So another one to keep an eye on now for two-way watch.
And you know what? This is what we should be doing, eh? I think Mark said it in his press release that he's got to look at the talent here in Scotland and see what's available and start to bring, and this is going to sound really strange, the next generation to the Ingalls and the Garrigans through the Stars, which just goes to show how long ago it was when these guys were at that age and coming through. So I'm looking forward. I came out the blue. Never even seen the laddie's name mentioned before any place. It's good to see that we are going to plunder the Scottish market rather than continually going down that road or trying to go down to England and get guys up and stuff like that. Just go for it and see what happens. And you never know. You might get the next Ingalls, Garrigan, McBean, and see what happens. John Dolan. Let's see what happens.
Get the next John Dolan. That's what we did.
Yeah.
Eventually just took the chance on him. Listen, I was about to call Chris Ingalls something there, just when you mentioned him about the next generation.
Then you shot yourself.
No. It had me thinking about that I met this lovely lady and our kids in the queue on Saturday at the cafe. Didn't catch their name, so I apologise. But she says, you're the boy for the... She was about to say the radio. You're the boy for the podcast. I said, I am.
Did she not see the boy for the TV?
the boy for the radio. I had a bit of a laugh about it. And I did say that, you know, she was saying it's really good, you know, they enjoyed doing it and stuff. Had a good conversation about it. And then I said to our daughter, I went, I hope you didn't listen to it. And she's like, no, I do. And our mum was like, yeah, well, we just cover our ears at some of those parts because some weeks are worse than others. And I went, yeah, and depending on how this weekend went, that could have been one of those episodes. It's not one of those episodes. I am going to put the pre-warning out now for maybe some swear words coming up soon, including now, to continue on to what Senior was saying, the next generations of your Chris Singles and that. And that's because Chris Singles is an old fucker now.
Yeah. He is.
He's an old man. He is an old man. Yeah. But yes. Before we move on to the next segment, Senior, I do need to ask you a serious question, and I do need you to be completely honest with myself and the viewers and listeners.
You're going to want to throw me under a bus here.
Did you create the fake Robert Dowd profile? There's a lot of talk about it. Did you do
it? I will neither confirm nor deny.
Do you need a lawyer? I know a guy.
Listen, all I'm going to say is Robert knows the truth. All I'm going to say.
I did.
We have spoken about it.
I did send him a screenshot because I did report it to Facebook, and Facebook said they weren't removing the fake profile. It didn't go against their standards. So I said, sorry, mate, I tried.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll get on a totally different subject. We keep going down that road. But some of the comments were amazing. So the guy that created the profile, as I say, wasn't me, or was it? Put up Robert Brian Dowd.
Yeah.
And somebody put, for those of a certain age, will remember the Monty Python, The Life of Brian, where he's meant to be the Messiah, right? Obviously, that's where they've created the name Brian from, the Messiah, the Golden Child, the Messiah. And in the film, they go to their house, and it's like, is the Messiah coming out? Yeah. And he's like, no, it's not the Messiah, it's Brian. He's just a naughty boy. And that was it. So it's fucking, for those who remember that film or remember The Life of Brian, and I'm fairly positive that's aimed at why the guys come on with the middle name. But what pisses me off about profiles like that, right? They're using his personal photographs, eh?
I know.
And it's no right. Whoever's creating it is a fucking no writer, eh? Honest to God.
Well, mind it happened to Farina. Mind they put Farina on Tinder before and was matching with people on Instagram. And anyway, we're not going down that rabbit hole. But
this has got a Dundee link to it, right? I don't know if you've been on Twitter. So the Daily EIHL have put up quite a lot of stats today.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know Robert Dowd had a brother who played for Dundee just now. Dryden Dowd.
Oh, Dryden Dowd.
Dryden Dowd. Yeah. Didn't know they were related.
Yeah. There you go.
But, the top six. Dryden's in the top six for assists in the Elite League. Dryden Dowd.
Yeah. Just to go on what you were saying there, though, about the Life of Brian, Monty Python stuff, those of a certain age. Chris Ingalls, I remember that, because he's an old fucker.
You're junior, I'm telling you. Chris Ingalls is going to knock your head off the next time he sees you. I'm telling you.
Oh, Chris loves it. I'll get a message after the show goes out, probably before this weekend, probably before the day's done tomorrow. I'll probably have a message for him.
Oh my God.
We are going to move on to our new segment, which follows on from 2A Watch, and it is Rockets Talk. So our little segment to push and highlight basically how well the Rockets are doing this season, updates on their games, scorers, and eventually stats as well. So two games for the Rockets at the weekend. Obviously, we touched on it in the last part, that a 5-2 win up in Aberdeen. Two goals by Ben Brown, a goal by Rio Page, who cannot seem to stop scoring this year for the Rockets, and two by the GOAT, John Dolan. Do you expect anything less from him?
Yeah, no, it just... no, he's in a fucker, by the way, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he still knows how to put the puck in the net. And I've always said it, doesn't matter what sport, right? Whether it's football, whether it's ice hockey, the goalposts didn't move. Right? They didn't move. They're there, and you put the puck in it. Unless you're a goalie.
Unless Jarrett's in the goal. But we'll get that on Sunday for Belfast if he's playing.
He just can't stop scoring. It is such a natural talent that he's got for putting the puck in the back of the net. But I'm really interested in seeing how Rio Page continues his development, because you're right, he seems to be, his name pops up quite a lot in Rockets games, and always on a positive note.
Yeah,
so
absolutely does.
Yeah, great result for him up in Aberdeen.
Yes. Then they came home, doubleheader this weekend. They came home on Sunday night to play the Kilmarnock Thunder. Kelly. So, they beat Kelly, who are obviously bottom of the league, by 10 goals to 1. And again, you can only play what's in front of you.
That's two
goals by Sean Beattie, a goal by Robbie Barnett, Rio Page, Sam McCloskey, Ross Paul, Grant Reakey, Jack Henderson, Michael Becker, and Ben Brown. No goals for the GOAT. However, three assists.
Yeah. You know what? And you didn't mind that. When if John's not scoring goals, you're hoping it is against teams like Kilmarnock, and everybody else is chipping in and they're winning big. When you need John Dalton to score goals, it's in the big, big games.
Yeah.
Your Aberdeens, your Edinburgh, and probably your Kirkcaldys. That's when you're looking for John Dalton to score goals. But great weekend for the guys again. Now, 4-pointer. I seen the day. That's them now out of action until, I think, it's about the 8th of February. They're away to Kilmarnock. You would expect another win. And as Jeff says when he was on here, they are going for it. They're going for the treble.
Yep.
They're doing it professionally. They're set up, they're trying to do professionally in an amateur league. And it's good. And it's good. I would like to see, like, we the Stars, right? We've got Dom at Aberdeen. We've got Gary at Aberdeen. We've now got Rowan at Aberdeen. I'd like to see a couple of the Rockets now we're getting. Even now, they might be training. I don't know, because then I go to Stars training anymore. But you'd like to think that somebody's maybe bending marks here, certainly around the young kids like Rio Page, and and you'd like to hope that maybe the Rockets would start to come through as well, because you'd like to see that link coming back up again between the Dundee SNL and then the Dundee EIHL team.
Yeah, so JD is second top goal scorer in the league with 21 in 20 games. Rio Page is joint third with young Smithy at Edinburgh on 18 goals to 22 games. But
top scorer
is another generational player in Joe Lynch of the Edinburgh Capitals.
All right, okay.
Stephen Lynch's young lad.
Yeah. I actually thought it was Chad. I must admit, I thought it was Chad Smith.
But... Chad's tied with Rio. But top point scorer in the league is the GOAT, John Dolan. 52 points in 20 games. 21 goals, 31 assists.
It's not bad for somebody in his 50s, is it?
Oh dear. So
the messages will be coming through, Junior.
So this is how the league looks. Rockets still sitting nice at the top. 33 points through 18 games. Caps still in second, especially that win on Saturday against Kirkcaldy, extending their lead over Aberdeen. Aberdeen third, 23 points through 18, and now on a three-game losing streak, which they will not be used to. So things to turn around there. But listen, they're 10 points off, but it's still a long way to go. In the SNL.
I'm looking at that, right, and just thinking, imagine how much better off they could have been if their power play was better, the Rockets.
Yeah.
Their power play's fifth out of seventh. That's mental. Yeah. Absolutely mental.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right. The big boy stuff. 51 Club sponsored game reviews. So we were at home to the Coatbridge, Airdrie, South Lanarkshire, Pishy Wishy, Bothwell, Motherwell, Brayhead, Paisley, Glasgow Clan. And what a game it was. And a typical Glasgow Clan game, some might say now, in Dundee. Clan were leading at the end of the first period by a goal to nil through Felix Parry. He scored at 4:44. They doubled their lead through Devin Cedaroff at 27:01. And then the Glasgow meltdown just made its way back into the elite league this season. Zach Sekos on the power play, assisted by Harms and Dow at 30:46. Sekos got his second at 39:03, assisted by Harms and Nass. Number 13 scored 13 seconds later. Philippe Songe, 39:16, assisted by Yamamoto and Gravel. Spencer Nass opened the scoring in the third period at 42:14 on the power play, assisted by Harms and Dow. Nass got his second on the power play again at 47:56, again assisted by Mr. Harms. And then icing on the cake, Keanu Yamamoto, assisted by Philippe Songe, 52-54, giving the Stars a 6-2 victory after two epic meltdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. A period and a half of absolute gash for the Stars. Period and a half. The first period, I thought we were piss poor, and I thought up until Songe decided he was going to wind McClellan up, we were piss poor. And then on from that, there was only going to be one winner.
Yeah.
And it was always going to be us because they fell into the trap. And every one of them bit so hard it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, people were asking, you know, oh, beat Harms, four assists, Nass, or the game changers. The game changer to me was Philippe Songe. But dragging McClellan in to get that, I think he shouldered him or elbowed him in the head, Then was scored. And then, believe it or not, Cameron Kiley took over in the third period by being the biggest instigator. Yeah. And he could not have wound up a bigger, and children, cover your ears, the biggest prick in the league. Yeah. And he fell for it. Yeah. Yeah. And he knows it. He's my pal. He loves it. I would have him in the team every day of the week.
Nah, see, but I wouldn't.
I would.
Listen, he's a good player, but see the games that he's played against us, he is an absolute liability for that team. Absolute liability. So much potential on the ice, but there's too much shit comes with him. I wouldn't take him.
See, I would take him, but if you look at it, when they're winning, he's fine. Right? It's when the game starts getting tighter or they start to go behind. If you keep chirping at him, he'll eventually just bite it.
Yeah.
I thought he was very quiet for the majority of the game.
He was.
Until Kylie got involved, I think we parry, and then it just basically I kicked off you there. But it was, I couldn't see it. Honestly, 2-0 Hendon, could not see us getting back in that game because I thought we were really, really poor. I thought Sabo kept winning it at 2-0. And then Rhys Sonche, as I say, kept with going or got with going. And then after that, as I say, to get the two goals in 13 seconds must have been an absolute killer for them.
Oh, God, yeah.
An absolute killer. Like, they're halfway through the game. They're 2-0 up, and probably deservedly so. And then even to be 2-1 up and thinking, right, we'll just get in, we'll be 2-1 up and regroup, to then going at 3-2 down. They must have just thought, what the fuck's going on here, eh? Mm-hmm. And then get a goal right at the start of the third period, and then there was only 1-1 after that.
Yeah, I need to thank big Chris Mackay for his fucking stupidity again, taking a penalty, assist on the goal.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mackay. Boy, it kind of says his surname correctly.
It was always gonna happen with Glasgow. If you get in about them, they don't like it. No. I think one positive for me, right, and this is going to sound daft, is Pouliot wasn't playing. And I think that might have been a blessing in disguise for us. Because I think if Parry and Herd had behaved the way they were with Pouliot there, I think there's a totally different outcome to that game. But because he wasn't there, the team knew not to get involved. And it was from our side, it was a lot of verbox more than anything else.
Yeah. But the other thing, though, you've just said there that if he was there, you know, he probably would have been dealing with it. If he was there, they wouldn't be fucking acting like that in the first place. Let's be honest.
And that might have helped Glasgow more than it helped us. But you know, the situation with Kylie and Parry. Kylie gave him a dig, right? He did. I seen it. He gave him a dig. But then Parry's got to be sensible, because I think the hands are already up against Kylie. Yeah. And then he decides, I'm going to slash it. And then he just loses the tatty, smashes doors and whatnot.
I was hoping for a good old Sylvain Coutier travesty of the game call.
You know what, Junior? I was actually wondering. See, at one point, I'm thinking to myself, he's going to throw the line out the way here. But then I looked up and it was Big Thorpe.
Big Thorpe on him.
Thorpe's going to plant you on your ass. But then Big Thorpe probably has made the worst call in Dundee this season.
Now, but the thing is, though, right? It's not the wrong call. He has to call it. Like, by the book, he had to call it, because it's not a delayed penalty call. It's a penalty call. You've got to call it there and then. But is it maybe, have a wee look and see what's happening on the ice right now? They're on the breakaway.
Yes.
Like,
that's what
you're in a catch 20. Like, listen, right? And I have it in the basketball as well at times. See, you didn't look at a team on a fast break and see if you're giving somebody a technical at the time. You then stop their fast break, and then they go and shoot a free throw instead of getting potentially a 2-point layup. You didn't really look to see where they are. You stop it there, and then bang, it's done. That's he's done. Oh, six, bang. I've got to call it. And he's like, and you even see him went, shit, sorry, just seen where you are. But you're then in a catch 22 with Mark. Mark then goes mental. We get the one on one. We miss it. And he's going out and saying, how the fuck did you not call too many men? They've got six on the ice. You know,
to me, he should have allowed the shot to be taken, then caught.
But he can't, because it's not a delayed penalty call.
It's not as if the games went for a long. It's went literally 2 seconds.
He was just crossing the blue line, so he still had another couple of strides to get to the goalie for his shot.
Seconds.
I get yeah. why he's called. Yeah, but again, seconds.
Oh, listen, I understand why he's called that.
Yeah, he's got to call
and
it.
It's
in
the right line. Call, but I think maybe a wee bit more. Let it run for a couple of seconds, then call.
But you're letting it run for a couple of seconds. The boys are on the bench. So you've only got 5 on the ice then. So how can you say, no, that was only fucking 5 out there?
Nah, I'm not having
that's why anyway. It's not a delayed penalty call. But the thing is, it was still the wrong boy that went in the box.
I know. But then the thing, that was going back to Parry. I honestly thought he was going to lose it on the ice. Yeah, I thought he was going to go Sylvain Cloutier on the ice. No off the ice, but fucking on it. And then I'm thinking, if they kind of get him, because at one point, even Toby had a huddle. Now, normally,
took him off.
Yeah, Toby does not normally get involved with that. It's the lino's job to remove them from the ice. It's not the referees. And I think Toby must have thought, I need to get involved here.
Yeah.
So none could happen with the lino's. I don't think he's going to do anything to a referee. You could push a lino out the way, right? And I'm thinking, if Toby didn't get involved, could he have had a run at the bench? I was hoping he did, because that had been funny as fuck.
Oh, I know. Early Bev would have punched him in the puss. Did you see, though, that on the video footage back, he's going mental, he's still shouting that, and Toby's there. Toby just grabs hold of the back of the jersey. Toby says something to him, and you actually see him calm down. But then he gets off the ice, he's like, I'm fucking going to turn back doors here. The doors were fine, by the way, everyone. Everyone thinks they were broken. I've had it confirmed. The doors were fine.
The doors are fine.
No new hinges or anything. The doors are
fine. That's the main
thing.
As long as the door's fine, we're okay. There was no doors hurt in the process. But a tremendous result. Tremendous result. Played for 30 minutes and still beating them 6-2. And we love a 6-2 scoreline, by the way.
We absolutely do. And so does the Thompsons.
Well, do they? Because they weren't there.
No, they weren't.
Called out. Daisy was there. That's how Daisy's your favourite.
Yes. Senior man of the match for the game?
Zach Sekos.
Sekos?
Yeah. I thought he was outstanding. I actually think that line of Harms, Sekos and Nass is now beginning to come together. Maybe not as much as when Harms and Nass had Valentini, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. It's getting there. They are game changers now.
Yeah. I have went with Sonch. I thought Sonch completely changed the game, controlled it.
I thought that line played very well again, putting them back together.
Okay, so 2 points. We go down the road to the Chaventry Blaze, and then I thought to myself, oh, fuck, here we go again. So Alessio Luciani at 3:47 put the Blaze 1-0 up. And then Jacob Stridsberg at 8:16 made it 2, end of the first period. Stars pulled one back through Zach Sekos, assisted by Spencer Nass at 31:32, shorthanded. And then the boss, Brett Gravel, tied the game at 57:54, assisted by Sonch and Yamamoto. And Mike Kennedy with the overtime winner for Coventry at 61:43. A good road point to what is effectively a difficult place to go and play this season under Kevin Moore. 3-point weekend.
Yeah. At 2-0 down after 8 minutes, you're probably thinking, here we go again. And you're then thinking, God, we changed the goalie. Should we have changed the goalie? Because I thought Sabo played well. And then also listened to Sabo's interview where he said he sort of, I think he maybe used the word struggle, but I can't remember if he did or not, about the back-to-backs. I think he finds them difficult, shall we say, the back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, because I remember Mark always saying, whoever's got the jersey and is winning and playing well will keep the jersey. So Sabo, I thought, played well against Glasgow, but then Fisk plays in Coventry. And I thought, I wonder what's going on. So it's maybe the netminders that are speaking with Mark and they're coming to a collective decision on who should play the specific games now. I don't know, but I did find it strange that Jarrett started. I thought he might, but based on what Mark had said before about it, I was very surprised. And then you're thinking, fuck, 2-0 doing 8 minutes. Is this going to happen every time we go away now?
Yeah.
And then we get a shorthanded goal and you think, well, okay. There's obviously a lot of work getting put into it. And then I'm watching that. I'm going through social media and I'm refreshing. And then it just came up. Snipe by Gravel. And I've seen the goal. It's a strange one. It's a fantastic snipe. But I didn't care what the goalies did. And I don't know if he's...
Goalie Dean Tom!
That's what it's like. It's a goalie Dean Tom. If you were a Coventry fan, you'd be saying that to your mate. What's a goalie Dean Tom? Because you look so unorthodox trying to catch that puck. But, and then they score a goal in overtime. It's not the greatest defence belts in the 3-on-3. There's something, whatever forward that is, gets caught.
So, on the ice...
For man!
On the ice, right, and this
is Kylie?
Very strange. No, well, I don't know if it was, but on the ice...
We had
Alberga and O'Connor on together.
Yeah.
And it's not the quickest of lines in overtime.
Nope. And I think the forward was Kylie. So, as the Blaze forward goes behind the goal, I think Ben's with him. And then Kylie's in the slot, but drifts down towards the forward and Ben coming round. And it leaves the guy Kennedy on his own. And then he scores. But 2-0 doing after 8 minutes, take a point in overtime. 100%.
100% for the game.
Yep. So, 3-point weekend. Fantastic. Yeah. I think it's, considering what Coventry have been doing, this is Thursday night. They played last night and got pumped.
Yeah.
3-1 up and lose 5 goals in the last period. So they are beatable. They are a decent side. They've got very good players. We've been struggling of late. And I would have taken that, like you say, before the game started. So, yeah. 3-point weekend.
Yeah. Happy with that. Are we back on track?
Are we back on track?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this weekend I'll tell if we're back on track or not.
Okay.
We might not get any points, but the performances will maybe show if we're back on track.
Yeah. So there is the league standings. Slightly incorrect. Guildford are actually on 39 points and up to fifth place with joint level points with Coventry, having played a game, having won two additional games to them. Fife Flyers still bottom, 8 points through 30 games. No game against Cardiff for them at the weekend after the storm blew the roof off. So the roof has now... I'm going to take this off the screen so I can see senior's face. Fife's roof has now went on fire and now try to take off in a fucking tornado.
Yeah.
Didn't have much luck with that, Ryan, did it?
They do not. They're not in much luck this season, either, let's be honest.
No.
It's been a horrendous season for Fife Flyers.
Manchester in ninth, 21 points to 31. Glasgow Clan down to eighth, 26 points through 30 games. Stars climbing a position, having picked up that additional point on Sunday. 27 points to 34 games. So played 4 more games than the Clan. But saying that, they've still got to win them. It said should be Coventry, then Guildford. Sheffield in fourth on 42 points. Nottingham in third on 43 to 33 games. Cardiff still in second, 44 points to 31 games. And then the in-form team right now, the Belfast Giants, sitting top, 33 games played, 51 points. And just like that, senior, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, we'll probably touch on a couple of things as we went through the show so far. But the good has to be a three-point weekend. I don't think anybody, if they're going to be honest, didn't think we'd have seen us picking up 3 points at the weekend. I think a lot of people would have had us, or the majority of people would have had us getting bit, probably down in Coventry, and also potentially dropping points against Glasgow. But we got the two against Glasgow, which is the main thing out of that weekend, is taking the 2 points from them and then taking the 1 point from Coventry. So the good is the three-point weekend. The bad was Elmer and Pouliot being out the lineup, and you get nothing from the club, as we've always said. Elmer, it was confirmed to me that Elmer left the game down in Guildford injured. Pouliot, we've not heard anything. He just wasn't in the lineup. We could training. Only assume.
Someone at the rink said on Saturday that he injured himself in training.
Right. So that's probably bad. Injuries maybe creeping up slightly. I hope it doesn't get any worse than that. And then the ugly, believe it or not, is the gap between us and the sixth place is now 12 points. Consider not so long ago, we were sixth. There is there, Junior, on the screen. Yeah, so Guildford are up to 39. So we're behind Coventry, but there's a 12-point gap. It's achievable, but it would be difficult. So I would probably think now Fife are out the running, and it's two teams out of three to get 7th and 8th between us, Glasgow, and Manchester. Yeah. Worryingly, we're the team that's played the most games. Positively, we've got the points. They've got to go and win their games. Yeah. And Manchester are on a brutal run at the moment as well. So, and long may it continue. Yeah. So that's it. The good 3-point weekend. Bad injuries to Elmer and Pouliot. Ugly is the gap being 12 points between 7th and 6th.
Thank you. So, let's look ahead. Liam Mean Tattoo sponsored game preview. So, we have a double header home weekend. Saturday, we host the Guildford Flames with a 7 o'clock face-off. Sunday is the Belfast Giants.
JJ Pickard.
At 5 o'clock.
wonder how many times we'll be shouting that.
I know. Try and die.
JJ Pickard.
So, listen, senior, A couple weeks ago, we had a game preview for the Guildford Flames, and I chose Ethan Strang, Jack Yakum, and Matt Alvaro, and I'm sticking with them for these reasons.
The scored goals.
Matt Alvaro, 12 points in his last 6 games. He has went on a run right now. He's now also the third top scorer in the league. He wasn't anywhere near it. Jackum is also now 10 points in the last 6 games as well. So that was the reason I was keeping those two in that. Even Strang absolutely was keeping him in it anyway, because he's 20 goals in 34 games and he's second top scorer in the league. But that's some points returned for those two. Between the two of them, 22 points in 6 games.
But think about it. Many did they put past us? What did they get?
They scored 5 on us.
There you go, right. And then they've played last night and they've put another 6 past Coventry. So
I'm sure the other ones were Sheffield and Belfast.
Yeah. Listen, we've said it for fucking years now about the Guildford Flames, right? They're a good team. They're a team that are sitting fifth in the league now because they went above Coventry last night, right?
Yeah.
But they are more than capable of challenging for the league, but they are more than capable of winning the playoffs.
Yeah.
More than capable.
Yeah.
They've got a decent netminder, but they've got very good forwards. And if you can back that up with a half-decent D and a good coach, you've got a recipe there. Eh? I've always liked the way Guildford play. They're fast. Yeah. They can be physical. They can be shite bags. They just go and play the game the right way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So and Dickers is a great guy. We've always said that about him too.
Yeah.
It's going to be so difficult this weekend.
Yeah. They put five on us. They put two on Coventry. They put two on Belfast. Four on Nottingham. Six on Guildford. Six on Sheffield and six on Coventry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can score goals for fun.
They're no mugs, eh? They are no mugs.
Yeah.
I actually think so. Belfast have hit a run of form. Nottingham have hit a run of form. Guildford are now hitting a run of form. They did go through a wee sticky spell, and that's probably cost them. Or they'd have been further up the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It started off quite inconsistent.
Yeah, I think Dickers. He doesn't always fall down on his recruitment, but I think at the start of this season he did, and he made changes very, very, very quickly, and then they've started to get their game together again. But I'll say it every week: we're at home, and I would like to think that we're going to win.
Score in
overtime.
Oh, I've just wrote down my score in overtime.
4-3.
That's exactly what I've put.
Well, that's what we're going with then.
Okay. Sunday, we host the Belfast Giants. Belfast, obviously, in Fife the night before, assuming that the roof is either fixed or safe to play under. Might just put an extra bit of tin foil over it like they do the rest of the roof in Fife.
Or remove it and have an outdoor classic.
If they remove it, though, send Fife, a lot of folk will probably steal the parts for it. And then we'll get it put back up again. So, listen, my three players, I've got four, but you'll understand why it's four and not three. David Goodwin, back in the lineup. 5 points in five games, some return from him, considering he wasn't playing. Scott Conway, top point scorer for the Giants, 16 plus 18, so 34 points in 33 games. But my double pick here is just the goalie tandem on who's actually going to play. You know, you've got McCollum, who's coming in after 18 games played in the league at 91.82 save percentage, with a 2.25 goals against. And then our wee pal, Jackson, 92.99% save percentage and 1.96 goals against in 16 games. Regardless of who plays in the goal, it's a tough night.
You're the Belfast coach. Who plays?
Jackson.
It's him, the same. You very, very rarely see Jackson Whistle here a bad game in Dundee.
Seen it once. Yeah. I've seen it once.
Yeah. Again, they're at the top of the league for a reason. Eh? They've had a lot of form. They've now brought Goodwin back.
Yeah.
It must be great to spend fucking money like that. That's all I could say. Honestly.
Yeah.
They're still going a wee bit. They were doing about third or fourth. Ah, fucking ban. Let's go and bring him back again. And then the hat are on a form, right? And listen, even without David Goodwin, they were a very good team.
Yes.
It's probably just made them a very, very good team. And it'll be hard. We're at home. If we could frustrate Belfast, then we're in with a chance. I'll always say it, on home ice, we're capable of beating anybody on home ice. Even with the shit form that we've been in a lot, we should, on paper, be capable of beating anybody on home ice. If we could get in amongst them and play to form that we know these guys can play it, then there's a chance. There's always a chance.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I do think, though, I'm going for it. Kenwatt Jr., I'm going for another overtime, but I think we might lose it in overtime or on penalties. But I do think we'll lose it. And again, I'm going to go 4-3 Giants. But I'll say overtime.
Okay. I think we're going to run out of steam in that game. It's going to be tight up until that point, and I'm going to go 5-1 Giants. I just think we're going to put too much into the Guildford game compared to what they're going to put in Fife.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. Eh? It's a fair comment.
I just think that's, yeah.
And it'll depend on how Fife play.
Yeah.
What we're hoping for is Fife to give them a good, hard game.
Yes.
And not be 2-3-4 nothing doing at the end of the first. Because the game is still better at time.
Yeah.
And they'll coast through. Yeah. They'll probably end up just winning 3-4-5-9 because they'll just coast through. Yeah.
Okay, got a prediction today. We'll move on to the final part of the show. Our good pal Stella. Slimming World with Stella, sponsored on this day. Senior, on this day, on the 30th of January, we recorded episode 78 of the Don McKelly sponsored away from Section C. This made my on this day so much easier because I didn't have to trail through it loads to find that stuff. Because we've already done it on this day. I will say, on this day, though, on episode 78, we also previewed the game against the Guildford Flames.
There you go.
I'm telling you, the supercomputer in the Elite League just looks at the last year's schedule and the year before, and they just move the dates about a wee bit, and we just play them around about the same time. Anyway, that's what they do. They just recycle, get some new ideas, Elite League. Come on, a fuck. So, on this day, for the second time on the show, we signed in 2012 Kyle Bruce from the Glasgow Clan in a trade for a Lever in Lee Mitchell to the Glasgow Clan. So a wee trade there.
It was a strange trade, was it?
Yeah. Yes. On this day in 2013, we signed Yanis Ozolins. Not a right wee player. Came and did a wee job.
Yeah, he was all right. Yeah.
We also had a Lever in 2018, and although he left a wee bit before this, he officially signed for the Dundee Comets, and my good pal Cam McGiffin. And only one game on this day, in 2022, it was an away league loss at the Nottingham Panthers by 5-2, with 2 goals by El Doro Loco. Spencer Dorowich.
End of the show.
So, Senior, I'm not going to linger about too long on that because we've already fucking done it a year ago.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. So, yeah. You might find that'll come around quite a lot now, eh?
Yeah, we'll have some episodes on the same day. I'm just wondering if our pals at the Dode Fox podcast will have ever done that on there on this day. I wonder if they've ever been on the same one.
Yeah,
I have to ask them. But yeah, I looked at it and I was like, I feel like I've announced Kyle Bruce signing for us before. Why would I have done that? I looked back in my notes. Oh, on this day last year.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, that is on this day. And that is this week's show. So, oh, fingers up. Hand up. He's hand got up. Something.
I've just got, come on, Junior, this is a daft wee thing. Like, I like putting daft wee things into the show. And the daft wee thing is, I don't know if you noticed it on social media today, but the Manchester Storm.
I fucking knew you were going to say something about this.
Announced their games. And guess who they play on Valentine's Day? None other than the Dundee Stars. That's all I'm saying, Lara. That's all I'm saying. Junior, you could finish the show. 3 weeks in a row.
I'm going to try and get them on to preview the game with me.
Oh, outstanding. Outstanding.
Or the week after and review it. Ask him how the date went.
Please, Junior, I'll tell you.
Okay, I'll try my best. Please. I'll try and make it work. I'll try and make it work.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
My God. Anyway, folks. Listen, thanks for tuning in again. That is this week's show. We will see you for a doubleheader Saturday and Sunday. Because it's Thursday night, it's a later show this week. Have a happy Friday, and we'll see you all at the rink at the weekend. Don't you know, pump it up. You got to pump it up.